Welcome to your deep dive into spiritual gaming.
Spiritual gaming.
Yeah.
Okay.
You've sent over a pretty interesting collection of materials, including excerpts from E.J. Gold's book, Spiritual Gaming,
Yeah.
which definitely piqued my curiosity. Who knew that video games could be a pathway to spiritual development?
It does sound a bit paradoxical, doesn't it?
It really does.
But I think that's what makes this deep dive so intriguing.
Yeah.
Your sources suggest that E.J. Gold has been exploring this connection for decades,
Right.
using games as diverse as Dungeons and Dragons,
Wow.
Abyss, and even Diablo II.
That's right. He's been at it since 1959.
That's a long time.
It's not just the variety of games, but also the sheer breadth of time that really struck me.
Yeah.
He even mentions experimenting with more recent online games like World of Warcraft, though those didn't seem to resonate with him quite as much. What do you think it was about those older games that drew him in?
Well, Gold doesn't explicitly say, but I think, based on your sources, I'd venture a guess that it has something to do with the level of focus and engagement they require. You know, those older games often demanded more from the player in terms of strategy,
Right.
patience, and even a certain degree of imagination.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think it ties into one of the core concepts he keeps returning to, the idea of games as teaching tools.
Okay.
He seems to believe that games can be incredibly powerful vehicles for learning, not just about strategy and problem solving,
Right.
but also about ourselves.
Absolutely. He sees games as opportunities to develop essential life skills,
Okay.
like cooperation, attention, discipline, and even the ability to navigate difficult emotional states.
It's not just theoretical for him either.
Right.
He traces this belief back to his own childhood experiences, learning from figures like Pete Seeger,
Oh, wow.
the folk singer, who used song games as a way to teach and build community.
It's fascinating how he connects these seemingly simple activities
Yeah.
to a deeper understanding of human interaction and personal growth.
It really is.
He even goes so far as to draw a parallel between gaming
Yeah.
and the Tibetan Buddhist concept of the bardo.
Oh, right, the bardo.
Bardo.
For those who haven't encountered that term before, it refers to the intermediate state between death and rebirth in Tibetan Buddhism.
Right.
But how does that relate to video games?
Well, Gold uses the bardo as a metaphor for the challenges and uncertainties we face in life,
Okay.
suggesting that the trials and tribulations we encounter in games can mirror those experiences, offering a safe space to practice navigating difficult transitions and emotional states.
So he's suggesting that the experience of overcoming a tough boss in a game
Right.
or dealing with the loss of a character in a hardcore mode could actually help us develop resilience and a greater capacity to cope with setbacks in real life.
Precisely.
Okay.
He seems to be suggesting that games, when approached with intention and awareness,
Yeah.
can be much more than just a form of entertainment. They can be powerful tools for self-discovery and personal growth.
And it's not just about facing challenges head on, is it?
No, it's not.
He also talks a lot about the importance of community and teamwork,
Right.
using the pack of green analogy from Diablo 2.
Okay.
I have to admit that one really caught my attention.
It's a vivid image, isn't it?
It is.
The way Gold describes the group of players huddled together on the auto map,
Right.
representing the strength and support found in collective action.
Exactly. And he doesn't just keep it at the surface level of the game. He connects it to the challenges of staying focused and connected to a shared goal,
Right.
even when distractions and temptations arise, both in the game and in life.
It's almost like he's saying that learning to navigate those distractions
Yeah.
and stay connected to the pack in a game can actually translate into a greater capacity to stay focused on our goals and values in real life.
That's such an interesting way to think about it. So it's not just about beating the game, but about the skills and awareness we develop along the way.
That seems to be the heart of Gold's message.
Yeah.
He's encouraging us to shift our perspective, to
Okay.
see games as opportunities for self-discovery and personal growth
Right.
rather than just mindless distractions.
Which brings us to another one of his key concepts,
Okay.
the shamanic
It's
factor.
Mondic factor.
This one felt a bit more esoteric to me,
Okay.
almost like he was hinting at some hidden knowledge or mystical power within games.
I see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of his more enigmatic ideas.
It is.
He uses this term to describe an element of success in game that seems to go beyond strategy or skill.
Okay.
Almost like a kind of intuition or flow state that allows players to achieve seemingly improbable results.
Like his uncanny ability to find high-level loot with low magic, find.
Right.
I admit that part left me a little skeptical.
Hmm.
But there's something undeniably compelling about the idea that there might be more to success than just pure logic and planning.
Right. And gold doesn't shy away from the more mysterious or intangible aspects of this shamanic factor.
Okay.
He even tells a story about one of his students, Claude Needham,
Right.
who encountered this phenomenon firsthand while trying to replicate one of Gold's impossible card tricks.
Oh, I remember that story.
You do.
Even after consulting a professional magician, Claude couldn't figure out how the trick worked. It's almost like Gold is suggesting that there are forces at play in the universe that we don't fully understand, forces that can influence outcomes in ways that defy rational explanation.
It's definitely a thought-provoking idea.
It is.
And it makes you wonder, doesn't it?
It does.
Could this shamanic factor be something we can cultivate or tap into?
Yeah.
Or is it something entirely beyond our control?
And how does it relate to life outside of gaming? That's what I'm really curious about.
Perhaps that's something for you, the listener, to ponder.
Okay.
But before you get too lost in existential contemplation, let's bring it back to a more practical level.
Yep.
One of the things Gold emphasizes throughout his writing is the importance of having a living teacher.
That's interesting.
He argues that books and static sources can only take us so far.
He seems to believe that there's a certain kind of knowledge that can only be transmitted through direct experience and personal guidance.
Right.
It's like he's saying that we need someone to show us the ropes, to point out our blind spots,
right,
and to help us navigate the more subtle aspects of the game.
Exactly. He even goes so far as to suggest that relying solely on books or online guides can be detrimental to our growth because it prevents us from developing the intuition and adaptability needed to thrive in complex and ever-changing environments.
He does have a point.
Yeah.
It's like the difference between reading about how to ride a bike. And actually getting on one and experiencing it firsthand.
Right.
No amount of reading can fully prepare you for the real thing.
And that's where the role of a mentor becomes so crucial.
Okay.
They can provide the support, feedback, and course correction. We need to navigate those inevitable bumps and bruises along the way.
But what about those of us who don't have access to a spiritual gaming guru? What advice does Gold offer for those seeking guidance on their own?
He suggests a practice that's accessible to everyone.
Okay.
Regardless of whether they have a teacher or not.
Okay.
Journaling.
Journaling.
He encourages players to keep a detailed record of their experiences, noting their successes, failures, and the emotional responses that arise during gameplay.
So it's not just about tracking stats and loot drops.
Right.
It's about developing a deeper level of self-awareness.
Exactly.
Paying attention to our habits, patterns of behavior, and even the subtle shifts in our mood and energy.
Exactly. It's about using the gaming experience as a mirror to reflect on our own inner workings and to identify areas where we might be getting stuck or holding ourselves back.
This is all starting to make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
He's basically saying that by paying close attention to our experiences in games, we can gain valuable insights into how we operate in the real world.
Precisely. And those insights can be incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to personal growth and self-improvement.
Now I'm even more curious about this spiritual gaming thing.
Mm-hmm.
So far, it seems less about religion.
Right.
And more about using games as a tool for self-discovery and developing a deeper understanding of ourselves and the world around us.
I think you're onto something there.
Yeah.
It's about approaching games with intention.
Right.
Awareness and a willingness to learn, not just about the game itself, but about ourselves in the process.
And that brings us to another intriguing concept that Gold introduces.
Okay.
The alarm clock talk.
Alarm clock talk.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I was wondering when we'd get to that.
Yeah.
This is where things start to feel a bit more, well, spiritual.
It's definitely a concept that pushes us to think beyond the confines of the game itself.
Right.
Gold argues that any event in life,
okay,
no matter how seemingly mundane, can serve as an alarm clock.
Right.
Jolting us out of our habitual patterns of thinking and behaving.
It's like he's saying that those moments of frustration, surprise, or even those seemingly random encounters can all be opportunities for waking up to a more conscious way of being.
Exactly. He even gives some specific examples from his own gaming experiences.
Oh, yeah.
Like the time a new player accidentally assigned skill points to Claude's character without permission.
Talk about a wake-up call.
Right.
The humorous anecdote.
Yeah.
But it points to a deeper truth,
mm-hmm.
that sometimes those unexpected disruptions can be the very things that shake us out of our complacency and
right.
force us to pay attention.
And that's where the real learning begins.
Okay.
It's in those moments of disruption,
mm-hmm.
of being thrown off balance,
yeah.
that we have the opportunity to reevaluate our assumptions,
right.
to question our beliefs,
mm.
and to ultimately choose a new course of action.
So it's not about avoiding those alarm clock moments.
It's about learning to recognize them and to use them as catalysts for growth.
Precisely. Gold seems to be suggesting that life itself is a game.
Okay.
And that these alarm clock moments are the built-in mechanisms for leveling up our awareness and expanding our understanding of the world.
Wow. This is all pretty mind-blowing stuff.
It is pretty amazing.
Who knew video games could be such a rich source of philosophical insight?
Yeah.
But how do we actually apply these ideas to our own lives?
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to read about these concepts.
Right.
But it's another thing entirely to put them into practice.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And one that I think we'll delve into more deeply in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay.
But before we move on, I'd like to pose a question to you, the listener.
Okay.
What are some of your own alarm clock moments,
mm-hmm.
both in games and in life?
Yeah.
What experiences have jolted you out of your comfort zone
right.
and forced you to reevaluate your assumptions?
That's a great question to reflect on. We'll be back after a short break to explore those questions
mm-hmm.
and to uncover even more insights from E.J. Gold's Spiritual Gaming.
Oh.
Welcome back to your deep dive into spiritual gaming. Before we get into more of E.J. Gold's ideas, I wanted to pick up on something you just said, you know, about those alarm clock moments.
Oh, absolutely. They really seem to be central to his whole philosophy.
Right. It's like he's saying we need those jolts to really wake up to what's going on around us, both in games and in life.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking about the whole shamanic factor thing we were talking about earlier. Is there maybe a connection there?
That's a really insightful observation. You know, Gold doesn't offer a precise definition of the shamanic factor, but he does seem to connect it to this idea of tapping into a deeper level of awareness or intuition. He uses the example of his uncanny luck with magic find in Diablo 2.
Yeah, and that example was a bit of a head scratcher for me, if I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
Is he really saying that we can just will ourselves to be lucky?
Not quite. I think what Gold is getting at is this idea that there are forces at play in the universe that we might not fully grasp. And that by cultivating a certain mindset, a certain openness to possibility, we might be able to align ourselves with those forces in a way that leads to what we perceive as luck.
Okay, so it's less about manipulating the odds and more about becoming attuned to something larger than ourselves.
Exactly. And this attunement might manifest in various ways. Maybe it's a sudden flash of insight that leads to a breakthrough or a seemingly random encounter that opens a new door. It's almost as if Gold is suggesting that by cultivating awareness and a willingness to embrace the unexpected, we create the conditions for what he calls synchronicity.
I like that synchronicity. It feels less like woo-woo magic and more like recognizing meaningful connections and opportunities that might have otherwise gone unnoticed.
And that, I think, is where the alarm clock moments come into play. Those disruptions shake us out of our habitual ways of seeing the world, making us more receptive to those synchronicities.
So it's all connected. The alarm clock moments make us more aware. And that increased awareness allows us to tap into the shamanic factor, which then leads to more of those seemingly lucky synchronicities.
I think you've really nailed it. It's like a feedback loop where awareness breeds opportunity and opportunity fuels further awareness.
This is getting really meta.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating stuff. And it makes me think about Gold's emphasis on not jumping from one new game to the next.
Mm.
He seems to believe that there's real value in sticking with a game and really diving deep into its complexities.
Absolutely. He uses the analogy of mastering an art form. A musician doesn't become a virtuoso overnight. It takes years of dedicated practice, honing their skills and refining their technique.
And he seems to believe that the same principle applies to gaming, that by committing to a game, exploring its intricacies and mastering its challenges, we develop a level of focus and discipline that can translate to other areas of our lives.
It's like building mental muscles. The more we exercise them in the controlled environment of a game, the stronger they become and the better equipped we are to face challenges in the real world.
So instead of chasing the next dopamine hit from a new game, he's encouraging us to slow down, savor the experience, and extract the maximum value from the journey.
Precisely. It's about quality over quantity. And this ties into his emphasis on community and collaboration. Remember the pack of green analogy?
Oh, yeah. Sticking with the group, even when things get tough or distractions arise, it's a good reminder that we don't have to go it alone, that there's strength and support to be found in working together towards a shared goal.
And he doesn't just leave it at that. He actually offers some really practical advice on how to cultivate that sense of collaboration, both in games and in life.
Like his tips on how to be a good rushy when getting a pro rush in Diablo 2.
That's a great example. It would be easy to think of being rushed as a passive activity, just letting the more experienced player carry you through the game.
But Gold makes it clear that there's an art to it.
Exactly. He talks about being prepared, being receptive to guidance, and knowing how to contribute to the process, even if you're not the one in the driver's seat.
And he even goes so far as to outline the qualities of a professional rushy, someone who's proactive, communicative, and always looking for ways to add value to the team.
It's almost like he's saying that the best way to learn is to be an active participant in the process, even when you're being guided by someone more experienced.
And this goes beyond just gaming, right? He's drawing a parallel to real life, suggesting that we can all benefit from learning how to be good rushies in our own lives. Whether it's seeking mentorship from a colleague, learning a new skill from a friend, or even just being open to receiving feedback from someone who has more experience than us.
Absolutely. It's about recognizing that we don't always have to have all the answers, that there's wisdom to be gained from those who have traveled the path before us.
It's so interesting how Gold weaves these seemingly simple gaming concepts into a broader philosophy of life. He's constantly reminding us that the lessons we learn in games can have real-world applications if we're open to seeing the connections.
And one of the most powerful connections he makes is between the virtual worlds of games and the different servers or parallel universes we navigate in real life. He talks about how the skills and awareness we develop in one server can be transferred to others, helping us become more adaptable, resilient, and ultimately more fulfilled individuals.
Like he's saying that by becoming proficient in navigating the challenges and complexities of a game world, we equip ourselves to handle the complexities of real life with greater ease and grace.
Yeah, exactly. And he even suggests that certain character classes in games like the Sorceress in Diablo 2 might be better suited for certain types of servers than others. It's a fascinating way to think about our own strengths and weaknesses and how they might play out in different areas of our lives.
I love that. It's like we're all playing different characters in the grand game of life, each with our own unique abilities and challenges to overcome.
And Gold is encouraging us to experiment with different character classes, different approaches, different ways of being in the world. He sees this kind of experimentation as essential for growth because it forces us to step outside of our comfort zones, challenge our assumptions, and ultimately discover hidden potentials within ourselves.
That's a powerful message. So it's not just about mastering one particular game or skill set. It's about becoming versatile, adaptable, and capable of navigating a wide range of experiences.
And that brings us to the concept of character building, which Gold sees as a powerful tool for self-discovery and personal growth.
He talks about how the process of creating and developing a character in a game can actually reveal a lot about our own personalities, our values, and our tendencies. It's almost like holding a mirror up to ourselves.
He gives some really interesting examples, like the player who always chooses to be a barbarian, perhaps reflecting an unconscious desire for strength and control. Or the player who hoards gold instead of sharing it with the team, possibly revealing a deep-seated fear of scarcity or a lack of trust in others.
It's amazing how those seemingly small choices in a game can reveal so much about our underlying motivations and beliefs.
Right. And Gold encourages us to pay attention to those choices, to reflect on what they might be telling us about ourselves.
It's like he's saying that the characters we create in games are not just avatars. They're extensions of ourselves, reflecting back aspects of our personalities that we might not even be aware of.
And by becoming more aware of those patterns and tendencies, we gain a greater capacity to choose how we want to show up in the world, both in the game and in real life.
So it's about taking ownership of our choices, recognizing that we have the power to shape our own destinies, even within the seemingly limited confines of a game world.
And Gold reminds us that this power extends beyond the virtual realm. He sees the choices we make in games as practice for making choices in real life, for developing the courage to step into our full potential and to create the lives we truly desire.
It's a really empowering message, isn't it? That even in the midst of a game, we're not just playing, we're creating ourselves.
Exactly. And that act of creation, of shaping ourselves into the best versions we can be, is at the heart of what Gold calls spiritual gaming.
It's about more than just winning or losing. It's about using the gaming experience as a catalyst for growth, for self-discovery, for tapping into those hidden reserves of potential that reside within each of us.
I think that's a beautiful way to put it.
So as we move into the final part of our deep dive, I'm wondering what's resonating most with you, listener. What's sparking your curiosity? What's making you want to dive deeper into your own spiritual gaming journey? We'll be back after a short break to explore these questions and to uncover even more insights from E.J. Gold's work.
We're back for the final part of your deep dive into spiritual gaming. Mm-hmm. You know, as we've been unpacking E.J. Gold's ideas, mm-hmm. it strikes me that there's a real emphasis on mindfulness woven throughout his work.
Absolutely. He seems to believe that bringing that mindful awareness to our gaming experiences can unlock a whole new level of depth and meaning.
Right. It's not about zoning out and escaping from reality.
It's about being fully present, engaged, and intentional with every choice we make in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And he argues that this kind of mindfulness can spill over into other areas of our lives as well.
He uses a really interesting analogy to illustrate this point, the concept of levels of skill.
Okay.
He talks about how as we progress on the path of mastery in any field, the gains become more subtle and less noticeable.
Like the violinist who, after years of practice, is no longer focused on just getting the notes right.
Right.
But is refining the nuances of their tone and expression.
Precisely. Gold suggests that this same principle applies to gaming.
Okay.
And by extension to life itself. It's a reminder that true mastery is a journey, not a destination.
Right.
And it's those subtle refinements, those incremental improvements that ultimately lead to a deeper understanding and appreciation of the craft.
I'm starting to see how this all ties together.
Yeah.
It's about approaching every experience, whether it's a game, a creative pursuit, or even just navigating daily life with a willingness to learn and grow.
Absolutely.
And that brings us back to the importance of having a mentor teacher.
Right.
Someone who can guide us along the path and help us recognize those subtle areas where we can improve.
Gold definitely believes in the power of mentorship.
Okay.
Especially when it comes to navigating the more nuanced aspects of spiritual gaming.
Yeah.
He acknowledges that finding a qualified teacher can be a challenge.
Right.
But he believes it's worth the effort.
But what about those who are just starting out on this path? What advice does he offer for those seeking guidance without a formal mentor?
Well, he encourages us to be discerning,
okay,
to carefully evaluate potential teachers,
mm-hmm.
and to trust our intuition when it comes to choosing who to learn from.
Okay.
He also emphasizes the importance of self-reflection, of paying attention to our own inner guidance system and using that as a compass to navigate our journey.
So it's not just about blindly following someone else's lead.
Right.
It's about cultivating our own inner wisdom and using that to guide our choices.
Exactly. And this ties back to the idea of alarm clock moments.
Okay.
It's in those moments of disruption.
Right.
Those times when our assumptions are challenged.
Yeah.
That we have the opportunity to wake up to a new level of understanding.
It's like those moments are designed to shake us out of complacency and to push us towards a more conscious way of being.
And Gold seems to believe that those wake-up calls are everywhere.
Okay.
If we're just willing to pay attention, he sees the entire universe as a giant classroom with lessons embedded in every experience.
It's a beautiful way to look at it.
Yeah.
It's like he's saying that life itself is a game, a grand adventure filled with challenges and opportunities for growth.
Right.
And it's up to us to choose how we want to play.
And one of the most important choices we can make is to approach that game with a sense of humor.
Oh, okay.
You know, one of the things that really struck me about Gold's writing is his playful, almost mischievous tone.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
He doesn't take himself too seriously.
He's constantly cracking jokes, poking fun at himself, and reminding us not to get too caught up in the seriousness of it all.
He seems to believe that laughter is an essential part of the spiritual journey.
Okay.
It's like he's saying that if we can't laugh at ourselves, we're missing the point.
It's a good reminder that even when things get tough, even when we're facing challenges or setbacks, there's always room for a little bit of lightness and joy.
Absolutely. And I think that's a perfect note to end on.
Okay.
Gold reminds us that the journey of self-discovery, of unlocking our full potential, doesn't have to be a grim and arduous task.
Right.
It can be filled with fun laughter and a sense of adventure.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into spiritual gaming, here's what I want to leave you with, listener.
Okay.
Remember to play the game, but don't let the game play you.
Yeah.
Stay mindful, embrace the unexpected, and most importantly, don't forget to have fun along the way.
And who knows, maybe you'll discover that the greatest game of all is the one you're already playing.
Right.
The game of life itself.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.